And so let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you'll please help us as we think about this very practical teaching of Jesus, very practical and very challenging, both to understand it and to have our lives and priorities shaped by what Jesus says. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, worry is a common experience of many of us, if not all of us. There are extreme forms of worry, such as various phobias and panic attacks. There's things like agoraphobia, claustrophobia, and there's all sorts of concerns that we have, and some of them need specialist help. And we are planning a Mental Health Awareness Day, which we're hoping the whole church family will be involved in, because it's an increasing, escalating reality in our country at this time. But we all of us need the instruction of Jesus here, because worry is a common enemy of all of us in some form. We worry about all sorts of things. It might be money, it might be jobs, it might be Brexit, it might be Trump, it might be whether our families will be healthy, what about education, our relationships, will I find Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, and will he leave me or stay with me? Our social life, should I go to this party or that? Our clothes, our food, am I eating a hamburger or a horse burger? And all sorts of other things. You know, we have all sorts of concerns, don't we? And worries. And we're anxious about many of them. Now, does Jesus have anything to say about it? Well, he does in verses 22 and 23. He says to his disciples, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. We've been following Jesus on his journey from Capernaum to Jerusalem. He is at the height of his popularity, and a large crowd is gathered around him. Someone in the crowd has just asked him to settle an inheritance dispute, and he's told them that it's foolish to live for the riches of this world. And that was quite a shock to us last Sunday, if you were here. We're thinking about those scenarios where the prudent person is planning for his future and living to gather the things, the financial rewards of hard work, and he was living entirely for that. And we thought, what a prudent person, and yet God said, what a fool. And it's quite a shock, wasn't it, to us? Because that's, I suppose, what a lot of us do, build our lives around. And God said, you fool. And now, at the end of that part, God said, be rich towards God rather than rich in the things of the world, at the end of verse 21. And now, in this section, Jesus is telling his disciples, he turns back to his disciples from the crowd, he is telling his disciples how to be rich towards God. And our points today show us how wonderful it is to know Jesus. Because our first point is, Jesus' perspective removes worry. And our second point is, Jesus' priority replaces worry. So let's just think about those two things that Jesus is saying in these verses. Firstly, Jesus' perspective removes worry. And we've all of us seen those pictures which looked at one way, show a beautiful girl, and looked at another way, show a hideous hag, and it depends on how you see the picture as to what you see. And Jesus is saying worry is a bit like that. It depends on whether we remember that God is in the picture or not. Jesus is saying that worry is for the pagan, the unbeliever, the person who has forgotten that God is in the picture. In verse 30, he says that the pagan world rushes after these things and worries about these things. And that is right, because the unbeliever, the pagan, the person, the Christian who's forgotten that God is in the picture, has only this world to live for. And the pagan, the unbeliever, the Christian who's forgotten that God is in the picture, has only himself to direct him through this life. And that's the problem, isn't it, when we see life and experience life without God in the picture. The materialist says, live for the here and now. There's nothing more. Eat, drink, and be merry. Spend £500 on a handbag, £1,000 on a suit, because there's nothing else to live for. There's nothing else to do with it. And that leads to worry. Worry about getting enough to pay enough to get those sort of things, and to the bucket list, you know, the film. We worry about having enough time and health and enough money to do all the things, to visit all the places, to have all the experiences that we want to have to make this a fulfilled life. We worry, worry, worry. And of course, it is the pagan, the unbeliever, the Christian who's forgotten that God is in the picture, who has only himself to direct him through this life. And as a result, we get very worried because we know that we haven't got the resources to direct ourselves through life. We feel as if we're on the wheel of fate, spinning round and round and round, out of control, at the mercy of chance. And we long for somebody to direct us and help us through the chaos of life. And that's why every major newspaper has an astrology section, and every phone directory has pages devoted to fortune tellers and palm readers. And that's why we develop superstitions, personal routines that help us to bring good fortune and to avoid bad fortune. But Jesus says we can't control this life, not with ourselves in control. He says, doesn't he, in verse 25, it's impossible for you to add even a moment to your life by worrying about it. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And so he says, rather than forgetting that God is in the picture, remember that God is in the picture. He knows, Jesus knows, that the root cause of our fears is forgetting that God is there. And that is right, isn't it? It is the person who doesn't understand the laws of aerodynamics who is worried about whether the plane is going to take off. You're sitting there on the plane, and you know all the luggage compartments are stuffed, and there's a very big person sitting on your left and another big person sitting on your right, and you think to yourself, this machine is never going to get off the ground, let alone get me to wherever it is I'm going. But if you know the principles of aerodynamics, that helps you to relax and to enjoy the in-flight entertainment. In the same way, if you know that God is in control and you know who God is, that helps you not to worry about life. Because Jesus says, remember that he is the God who looks after the ravens of the air and the lilies of the field. In verse 24, he is the one who feeds the ravens, dumb creatures that are unimportant. He looks after them. And the lilies, day after day in the scorching sun, they're beautifully arrayed in lovely colors because God has made them, and God provides the food for the one and the colors of the other. How much more does he care for you and I, whom he has made in his image, and for his disciples, for the children and the followers that are his own? Now, he isn't saying, stay in bed and don't bother to plan or to work, because the ravens collected their food and it took them most of the day to do it. And God says, as we saw recently in 2 Thessalonians 4, we must work to provide for our needs and the needs of our dependents. But we shouldn't worry about the work that we do, because it doesn't matter to God if we're a dustman or a doctor. It's okay in God's sight if we're downwardly mobile. We don't have to be upwardly mobile all the time. It doesn't matter to God, and it shouldn't matter to us. What matters is that we provide enough for our dependents to have what they need. It doesn't matter how we do it. We don't have to have the status and all the other things and the extra disposable income that we come to think of as a necessity. It's not. Don't worry about it. He's not saying so what matters to God is our character, not our clothes. And we're to remember that the more time we spend with him, the more our character will become like his. So Peter says in his letter, the beauty that God cares for is the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth to God, not the outward beauty of the latest fashion clothes or hairstyles. And that comes from remembering him and spending time with him and saying to ourselves, when we're worried about our food and our clothes, remember the ravens and remember the lilies. Jerry Bridges puts it like this: worry is a distrust of God. If I give way to worry, I am in effect believing that God does not care for me and that he will not care for me in the particular circumstances that have triggered my anxiety of the moment. Suppose, he goes on, one of you were to say, someone you love were to say to you, I don't trust you. I don't believe that you love me and will care for me. What an affront that would be to you. Yet that is what we're saying to God by our anxiety. So if we're a Christian here today, the prayer must be to be able to remember the Lord and to trust him when we're battling with worry in the middle of the night. And rather than reaching for the whiskey bottle or for the night nurse or whatever it is, to pray as Paul tells us in the second reading, not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known to God. And the promise that comes with it is that the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. The key to battling worry is to remember God in the picture and to speak to him. So if you're not a Christian here today, can you see what you're missing? You can know the God who takes care of the ravens and the lilies and will take care of you. Peter, one of Jesus' greatest friends, says in his letter, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. It's wonderful to know the God who cares about you, who is in the picture, who's in control of what's happening. Now, the second thing to notice briefly is that Jesus' priority replaces worry. Jesus tells his disciples to consider two things, the ravens and the lilies, and to seek one thing, his kingdom, in verse 31. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. We're to replace our worry about how to get the food and clothes with concern for his kingdom, to replace what is temporary with what is permanent. He sets us free from worrying about the small things by giving us something bigger, something lasting to think about and to live for. Jesus starts calling God Father at this point. He's emphasizing that we're in a family business, that we have a loving heavenly Father. Instead of food and clothes being the whole purpose of our lives, the rule of Christ and the extension of his rule is to be our first concern. And it can be, because we have a heavenly Father who'll care for our concerns. He knows that I get hungry and that I need food in order to be able to work. And that until I've had the food, I'm not going to be able to do very much. Well, he knows what we're like. Even me as a father understands that about our children. when they come in from school, they need a bit of hot chocolate and a few bits of toast before they can get down to their homework. Even I understand that. How much more does our Heavenly Father understand that we need the necessities of life in order to get on with the work that he's given us to do of building his kingdom? Now Jesus is saying, make his kingdom your first concern, and then trust him to look after your needs and your concerns, because he will. And Jesus ends with these great words in verse 32 to 34. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying here, don't fret and don't be anxious and don't be fearful, because God's work done in God's way will not lack God's resources. These words are spoken out of kindness of a loving Father, not as a command or a threat, but as an encouragement. Our Father is the King of the world, and no earthly king would ever say what he says here. It's my pleasure to give you my kingdom. It's an extraordinary thing to say, isn't it? In verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. It makes sense to work for his kingdom, to make his kingdom our first concern, because he has given us responsibility for it. There's a difference between working for someone else and working in your own business. My dad had a newsagent's business, and he was up at 4:15 every morning in order to get into the shop at 5 a.m. for the delivery of the newspapers. And he closed the shop door at 6 p.m., and he's back home at 6:30, and he was up the next morning at 4:15. Now, he did that for 17 years because it was his business. He cared for it. Now, similarly, Jesus is saying the business of the kingdom, he has given to us. He's given us responsibility for this kingdom of his. It's an extraordinary thing to say, isn't it? Verse 32. Don't be afraid. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, as a result, because we have responsibility for God's kingdom that he has given us as his children, working with him as our Heavenly Father, that's our great concern. Now, we're to use our resources, our time and our money to build it. We're to put our daily resources into his hands in order to meet the needs of the poor, to give to the poor. And the poor here are not just the homeless and the hungry. It's the spiritually poor. It's the poor who are living this life in darkness, without hope and without God, and with no future, and just this life to live for. It's a terrible poverty. And we're to spend the resources that God has put into our hands, the time and the ability and the every other thing, in order to bring riches to the poor people around us. Spiritual riches, the riches of knowing the Heavenly Father, of being part of his wonderful kingdom, of having a guaranteed future with him. And as we do that, as we invest our time and our resources and our energy into the building of his kingdom, which he has given us responsibility for, so we lay up treasure in heaven. So we are rich towards him, which is what Jesus said back in verse 21, is this purpose of life, the purpose of this life. To be rich towards God. So, if you're not a Christian here today, it's great that sometimes people who are not Christians come along, and we love having people who are not Christians coming to hear about God and find out what he's like. And if you are a visitor today, can you see that becoming a Christian is beginning to play a part in building God's kingdom? Don't you yearn, don't you long for work that is lasting? Well, you can have it. And for us Christians here today, make the building of his kingdom the thing that is uppermost in your priorities. If we're going to worry, if we're going to lose sleep, let it be over something worthwhile, something lasting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for Jesus' very practical instruction, very encouraging instruction, that you are our Heavenly Father who cares even for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and care for us as your children with whom you've shared your inheritance and given us a place in your eternal work far, far more. And we ask that you'll please make us children who trust your fatherly love and care more and more, and worry less and less. And we ask this for the glory of your name. Amen.